Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
And finally on our program tonight, Markets and Company News. It is a Wednesday, so we're in conversation with Fahima Adia, Senior Equity Analyst at Momentum Investments. I guess, Fahima, good evening to you. The big news today, consumer inflation easing again. Everyone I've spoken to today says a November rate cut is likely. What's your sense on how the market's reacting to it?
Good evening, Jeremy. Yes, good news on that front, with consumer inflation easing to 3.8% in September. That is the lowest level since March 21, and the fourth consecutive month where we have seen inflation fall. So just looking at the drivers behind the lower reading, it was driven by lower transport inflation, which is actually now deflationary at minus 1.1%. And that comes also after we saw a fall in fuel prices and also slower prices in increase in vehicles. So that also helps support the deflation. Looking at the food inflation side, though, that remained unchanged at 4.7%. So in my view, I think there are risks on the food inflationary side, given, you know, the climate change we're seeing and the adverse weather events globally, which is having an impact on the food supply chains. Overall, I think it was a positive reading, broadly expected by the market. I think the market was expecting the reading to come in lower. And we will likely see some further rate cuts at the next meeting in November on the back of that.
Fahima, no chief executive likes to resign and then see the share price of the company increase. Not the case with Alexander Forbes today, though. Its chief executive has resigned and the share price up by over 4% today.
Yes, so I saw that the investment CEO, Anne Lepile, resigned. It was quite sudden. Not much detail was provided on the reason behind that resignation. She did take that role up just 2 years ago, and the note basically just said that she is pursuing a role that is aligned with her ambitions and the company wishes her well. But I guess there will be continuity because the group CEO, Davie de Villiers, will basically just act in her role until they find a suitable replacement. So it seems there will be business continuity and business as usual until they find a successor.
Let's pivot to food. And South Africans do love a hamburger. Famous Brands grows earnings 10% at the midpoint this year. In spite of the fact that food inflation is increasing, transport inflation is a problem. They've really battled through this and they will be well pleased with this result.
Yes, it's been quite a tough environment for Famous Brands. You know, it's been under a lot of pressure due to those factors that you mentioned. But we are starting to see a bit of a turn in the share price. So over the past 3 months, it's up about 28%. So just taking a closer look at the results, revenue increased quite marginally by just 2%. Operating profit was flat. But despite that, they did manage to improve headline earnings, which increased by 9%. And that was largely driven by cost savings. So overall, they said that casual dining restaurants has seen an improvement due to customers cutting back on the more luxury dining experiences. But overall, the brand's performance is still under pressure due to less consumer spending. So I do think it's good to see that they are starting to see some recovery, and they have managed to reduce their debt position as well quite significantly. But it's probably going to take some time, I think, before we see the consumer recover and for disposable income to increase so that they can return to spending more on the likes of Famous Brands.
And just to remind our listeners, Famous Brands, Wimpy, Steers, Debonairs, Mug & Bean and Fisherway. So those are all popular so-called high street brands. The technology group, Fahima, reporting a narrowing, this is EOH, reporting a narrowing of its losses, but also wants to change the name of a company.
So EOH has been undergoing a business restructure. We are seeing some recovery in the share price this year. It's up about 26% on the back of that. And it looks like they want to change the name to IOCO. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but it does sound a bit more catchy and memorable than EOH.
Your guess is as good as mine, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and I think, you know, the EOH name is also somewhat tainted given that history of the company and prior management's involvement with the irregular tenders and other malpractice. So I think it does make sense from a marketing and brand point of view to get a fresh name. Just taking a closer look at the results, there was a 3% decline in revenue, but it's good to see that the headline loss per share narrowed to 0.21 cents from a loss of 21 cents in the prior period. And it looks like the international side of the business is doing well, but there was a decline in revenue from industrial ecosystems and digital business solutions. They mentioned there was quite a huge cost restructure on the corporate and admin side, which is expected to result in cost savings of 160 to 200 million rand, which will be seen in the 2025 year. So it does seem like they're making progress in turning the business around.
And Fahima, a quick thought on Sasfin. It's reported an annual loss. It's talking about progression with a strategic reset, but the results were delayed.
Yes, exactly. I think it's never a good sign when the results are delayed. It did kind of paint the impression that we were not going to see a great set of numbers, which has proven to be the case. So the group posted a headline loss of 58 million in 2024 compared to a profit of 112 million in 23. So there has been a strategic reset in the business, which involves selling off non-core assets. And they basically said this resulted in lost revenue opportunities and other once-off costs. The business is, however, in the process of delisting from the JSE, and they said they're intending to conclude that in the next few months. I guess it'll be another company leaving our JSE this year.
And just finally, there was a note out from the International Monetary Fund. It's raised South Africa's forecasts, and obviously this comes on the back of today's inflation numbers. But predictably, understandably, there is the warning on global tension, but I guess that warning would apply to most countries.
Yeah, so they did raise the forecast slightly. So they're expecting that growth will now be 1.1% this year and 1.5% next year. And that, I think, largely just seems to be on the back of the improvements in load shedding. So while it is slightly higher, I don't think it's really anything to get too excited about. We clearly do need to still see a lot more growth than that before there is some notable improvement in the economy. And we do see some recovery in our very high unemployment rates. And then, like you said, you know, looking at the global side of it, growth projections, they are unchanged, but they did warn about some rising geopolitical tensions. So basically what we're seeing in the Middle East and also trade tensions, I think particularly between China and the US, which could have an impact on global growth as well. So quite a few headwinds lie ahead.
We'll talk to you again next week, Wednesday. Fahima Adia, thank you very much indeed. Senior Equity Analyst at Momentum Investments.
Business on Hot 1027 with MoneyWeb.
And that's where we're going to leave Hot 1027 Business with MoneyWeb for this evening. Back tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Good night, stay invested, and thank you for listening.
Hot Business on Hot 1027 with MoneyWeb.